It's a great privilege to be here preaching the Word of God. It's always an honor for me to do that. I get very nervous before I do it, but the way I said it just a minute ago, it's good to be a little nervous. And I said, I'm a lot of nervous. He said, well, you're not big enough to be a lot of nervous.
Oh.
I said, thank you, brother Wayne. No, but I appreciate our church. I appreciate our church family. And I appreciate our pastor for giving us the word. He gives us the word, and I appreciate that very much. I love our pastor, and I'm so thankful to you. And me and my family are part of this church. So we're going to get into the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of thy host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all his descendants shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give it into our hands. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, Father, it's a great privilege to share your word with our church, and Lord, it's an honor. It's something that should not be taken lightly. Lord, as your servant, I ask, Lord, that you give me the words to say this afternoon, Lord, that you be my strength. Father, you know my heart, and you know everything that I'm about. I can't hide nothing from you. So I come to you, Lord, this afternoon, and I ask, Lord, that you lead me. I pray that you be with all of yours, and Lord, that you will be glorified and magnified in everything. I love you, and I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I know many of you have heard and read about David and Goliath. And as I was reading this passage, this is towards the end when David is about to challenge Goliath. And I wonder why was it David? I mean, he was a young man, he was the youngest of eight brothers. And he was not a soldier, and nor did he have the experience of battle. I believe that there was more soldiers there that were more qualified than David. So we're just going to go back and we're going to look at a few things and find out why. And what happened to those men that were qualified. Let's go to Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to look at the battle here and how the Philistines and the children of Israel are getting ready for battle. Verse 3, and the Philistines too stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a battle between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, who measured 6 cubits and a span. We're not going to get into all of his armor and everything, but I just want you for a second to picture this giant of a man. I did the math, and if I'm correct, he stood around 9.5 feet.
Right.
And what really caught my eye was the word champion. Now, the word champion, when I think of the word champion, my understanding of the word champion is someone who's undefeated. He's a champion of heavyweight in the world. But that's not the meaning of this word here. The word in the Hebrew means a man between two. The idea is that this man was on behalf of his people and engage in a single one-on-one battle with the opposing chosen of the opponent. And that's what Goliath is doing here. Now, you're not talking about the ordinary, we're not talking about an ordinary man. We're talking about a man who stands about 9.5 feet tall, and his armor. He's got about 200 pounds with spear and armor that he's carrying around with him. And he can still fight. And he stands there and he challenges any man from the children of Israel. Verse 8 and 9 says that he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle array? And not I, Philistine, and ye servants of Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to you. And if he be able to fight with you and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. The challenge was made to the children of Israel. And we're not talking about men that weren't ready for battle. These men were ready for battle. This is why they came together. They were ready for battle. Yeah. And here's this man challenging. But they're going to fight for their life. It's different when you're going to fight for your life. It's different when your life is on the line. And that's what was going on. They were going to fight to the death. The winner, the loser would serve the winner. That was the challenge. But I want to say today, that fear got a hold of the children of Israel. Fear got a hold of the army of Israel. King Saul and all his men, none were challenged because of fear. The children of Israel had a purpose. What did God tell the children of Israel? He said, go to Canaan, that's your land. I'm giving it to you. And look what God said to them. Let's look at verse 7 real quick. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear. They were greatly afraid.
Right.
This went on for 40 days. Every morning and evening, this Philistine would come before them and he would challenge them. For 40 days. See, the army of Israel wasn't just any army, they were God's army.
Right.
And their purpose was to glorify God, to trust God, and to take care of Israel because they were there. God gave it to them. God said in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto a battle against your enemies, let your heart faint. Let not your heart faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you.
Amen.
That was God's word to the children of Israel. Don't be afraid.
Right.
Don't let your heart fail you. Fear. Fear got into the heart of Israel. And they lost sight of who they were. They lost sight that they fought for God. This is the reason David had to fight. Because no one else would. So they were qualified when they stand in the fight. See, we serve a God, and our God doesn't look on the outside appearance, but on the heart of a man. And God has chosen him a man. This man was just an ordinary man. But he had a heart for God.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. See, God had Saul had not followed the commandments of God and disobeyed God. And God was looking for another one that eventually would take, be king over Saul, would be king over Israel. And God saw him a man, he found him a man, and he sent Samuel to the children, to the house of Jesse. And Jesse had 8 sons. And look what it says there in verse 7. It says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, because Samuel was looking at the older brother, and he was, yeah, this is the guy. This is the one. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord seeth not as men see. For men looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Yeah.
God had found him a man. And God told Samuel to anoint this man. And the Bible said, verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. It says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now keep in mind that this anointing of David was before this battle. Okay, this took place before the battle. Now we're going to forward 40 days into the battle. Now it's been 40 days, the Philistine has defied the army of God and he's challenging them. And no man will come and fight. Jesse sends his son to the battle. 1 Samuel 17, verse 17, and Jesse said unto David, his son, take thou for thy brethren an ephod of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 sheaves unto the captain of the 1,000, and look how thy brethren are fair, and take their pledge. So David's purpose to go to the battle is to do, he's obeying his dad, his father. His father told him to go to the battle. David wasn't ready for battle. David's mindset wasn't ready for battle. David was going for a reason. He wasn't going to fight. God tells me that he had the Holy Spirit of God in him from that moment forward. And the one thing David wasn't going to do, he wasn't going to be quiet. And then it gets to this battle in 40 days. And the first time David hears, David's ready to fight. Because his heart was right. See, when your heart's right, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is. It doesn't matter if you're ready or you're not ready. When it's time to fight, it's time to fight. And he says in verse 26, and David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Right.
Who is this man? And David's brother, he hears David and he says, what are you doing up here? What do you come to see a fight? Do you want to pick a man and throw him out there for you, David? So you can walk? Is that what you come for, David? Isn't that like most of us? You know, I want to get everybody up to the fight and you stand back and just watch. The way it works. Right? David wasn't looking for a game at the time. stated they didn't want to come to Washington. David wasn't for this to be great, his father. David didn't come to watch a fight. David came to fight. David's heart was rotten. David had an offside who he was fighting for. David accepted the challenge. And though the odds were against David, greatly. You would have to say that he was insane. David, are you insane? There's 100% chance that you're not going to win. Do you understand, David? 100%. You're not going to win. And look at the confidence of David. This is ridiculous. Because he's so confident. Look what he said, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. What? You? You don't even know how to fight. Can you imagine Saul? You? David, you're not even ready for this. This is Psalm 36, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this citizen to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. A man of war from his youth. And you're a you. You're not going to win anything. You're a saint. But Pat Dickley. Past victory builds in faith of David. David had seen God's word. God had already given David some impossible circumstances.
Amen.
Look at verse 37. And David said to Saul, thy servant keeps his father's sheep. And there came a lion from there and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Now, I've never seen a bear with a beard. David said he grabbed the lion by the beard and he smote him. A lion. I get scared when they're wolves. Have you ever heard of a wolf at the zoo? He says, I heard of you both the lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go. The Lord be with you. And Saul gave his armor to David. And this really annoys me when the movie faces these things of visible truth, and they turn into something else, and they make David put on his armor, and it doesn't get him. And he's like, oh, it doesn't see me, and he takes it off and throws it on the ground. Are you guys thinking about that movie before? that not true? Look what David says. Verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on and helmet of brass upon his head, also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proven it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I have not proven it. And David put him off. Okay. And there's something that David should be in the army of God. It meant something to David. We wouldn't fight with the law because he had a Christian. What does it feel to you when you say you're a Christian? What does that mean to you, sir? It means something to me.
Yeah.
It said that as David approached the giant, he understood that this battle wasn't his. David saw the size of the giant. He saw the weapons in the giant's hand. And David spoke in faith. See, so many times we're in this battle and we think it's our battle, but it's not ours to see.
Right.
The battle belongs to God. Look what David says in verse 45, and this is where we're at. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the Lord, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the sinners shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle of the Lord, and he will give you into our hand. The battle of the Lord. And he will deliver. And as they go to battle, verses 54 tells us, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. The Lord delivered. Church. You know, Pastor, we preach you this morning. And we are finishing another year. And we're coming into a new, fresh year. And for me, it's always exciting because it's a fresh year.
Right.
And if we make our commitments, we just wait until that day when we're up there. But just as the children of Israel were to go into the land of Canaan and take Canaan, to take what God gave them, God has given us a great commission. God has given us a great commission.
Yeah.
Isaiah 44:8 tells us, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Has not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not of any." Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We serve God. We serve God, the God that became flesh. God that took on sin and was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. We are his witnesses. And God said, "I know not of the God." Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is a true word tonight. Most of us are walking around here like it's a lie. The problem is, verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." That's the Christian life. I got that right there in my Bible. It says the Christian life. To die, to self. Church, our country is divided.
Yes.
I'm not into politics. It's important to know. I'm learning about it. And we walk by faith, not by sight. And we serve a God that is able. And we serve a God that is mighty. We got enough of them. We're here to finish so easy. Who did it for? You say Jesus Christ is first in your life, and then that should be ending in your life. Because Jesus asked for everything. He said, "Come unto me." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him.
Right.
For he that cometh for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. David proved that. There's men of God that have been using the Word of God that have proven that. There's some Christians in here today that have proven that. I'm one of them. Listen, what happened to you? That was a miracle.
Amen.
Listen to me as well.
Amen.
Yeah. It was a miracle.
Right.
If somebody would be born again, that's a miracle.
Yes, it is. Right.
You look in the mirror and say, what happened to you? That's for God. And that's a victory. We walk by faith. That's it.
Amen.